CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Ah, yes. Looks like I'm solo to start the show this morning, but don't worry, the rest will be joining us momentarily. CliffCentral.com at the end of another very cold week in most of the country, and being a Friday morning, everybody's excited about the weekend, and because it's a normal weekend, at least it's not under hard lockdown. You know, we were on like, what, level 2 or level 5? I can't even remember what the levels are. Frankly, I haven't been paying that much attention to it. It hasn't been a thing for me. I've said this before a million times. So maybe this weekend is a thing for you because you've been following all the rules. You know, you've been listening to Cyril.
Stay safe, stay home.
That kind of thing. I spoke to a dude yesterday, and you'll get to hear the interview a little bit later this week. No, maybe even over the weekend. A guy called Chris Wyatt. He's a retired army general. What an interesting dude. And I got to chat to him yesterday. And we ended up talking for like over an hour. And it's not boring, I promise. It's really, every single minute is crammed full of stuff. You know, when you talk to someone and you just can't get enough questions and time with them. That's kind of how it felt with this guy. And he's a bit of a nutcase. I mean, like, you know, some people will say he's a conspiracy theorist. He's very together. He's not a lunatic. But some of his theories and some of his ideas are the kinds of things that will get you canceled on the internet. So I think if there's ever a red rag to a bull, if that kind of thing makes you interested in somebody, then you're going to love Chris Wyatt. He's coming up. Hey, Leanne Moll, what's happening?
Hi, sorry I'm late. I was on the pooper and then my internet stopped working.
Oh.
So I'm now connected to my phone.
So is your lavatory connected to your internet somehow? Because maybe that's what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can't use them. You can't use them at the same time.
No. So I have to use, like, I have to play stupid games that aren't connected to my phone.
Yeah.
Or to my Wi-Fi while I'm on the loo. You know, it's just, it's so unprofessional. These things make me look unprofessional.
I know. I think your loo's still going. I can hear it in the background. My day is great. I woke up this morning full of energy. It's just cold, and I don't know what to do about it because I'm not a heater person. And yesterday I was working all day, and I did some recordings, and I did a live webinar last night for people who want to emigrate to Portugal. Now, I know you love,
yes,
Portugal,
it's
right?
Like my pipe dream, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it's not even a pipe dream. It's like a fantasy. I mean, what a place that is to go to, right?
Well, I heard just the other day from someone who lives in the UK, they're English.
Yeah.
And they said her husband moved to Portugal for a while.
Yeah.
And they were just amazed at the fact that there's like still a bit of sexism going on.
What?
For instance, when signing your, you're not allowed to buy property as a woman unless,
yes,
your husband has signed.
But that makes perfect sense. I don't think, is that very backwards? Oh, sorry. I didn't realize that was, I thought that was what happened all over the world. What? You mean women can buy property? No. Surely not.
Yeah.
Hang on, Leanne.
I actually only realized just recently that men, the reason why your father walks you down the aisle and mm-hmm. why he has to be asked for permission to marry you.
Because he owns you.
Because your father owns you.
Yes, yes, exactly. And when you're not in the shed with the cattle, because that's where you sleep, then you eventually, he has to make you, you know, go and buy a dress, and he has to let the other women in the family just clean you off a little bit from all the stuff in the shed. And then he can present you to another man who will willingly take you off his hands for a good... For a dowry.
And then you take his surname as well, because, you know, you can't just be running around with your own surname.
Oh, of course not. Don't be ridiculous. Who wants to know that? Especially if you're a woman. Worthless. So, morning, Bulelo. How's it?
Good morning. It's good.
You haven't missed a huge amount this morning. Bulelo's just joined us. Leanne is here and I'm here and we're looking after you this Friday. I was just talking about this webinar that I did last night. It was at 6 o'clock and there were all these experts from various, you know, businesses that help put the golden visa into operation. Now, you know, I've I've gone through such an evolution in terms of like people who want to emigrate or immigrate into South Africa or any of those things. And I used to be one of those people who was, you know, I was a bit of a nationalist, a bit of a patriot. And I used to judge people who moved around the world. Mm. And I used to have a problem with it. I used to be quite rude about those people. And now I feel like such an idiot when I think back. Not because the world has necessarily changed around me, but because that's a very childish approach to things. People must really be as free as possible. That's always the guiding light. You should be able to live in any country you want to live in. And I know, Mbulelo, you've lived in a number of places, so you can probably speak about this with some authority. I've only ever lived in South Africa. I've visited many places, and I've visited a few places where I thought, I at a push I could live here, but nowhere that I would instantly pack up everything and go. Mostly for me, it's because the people I love are here. So that's number one. And by that, I mean very specific people like my family and my friends. And my business is here. And I feel like this is still the country I can make the biggest difference in. But if you wanted to go somewhere else, if you wanted to go to Java, or you wanted to go to Mexico, or you wanted to go to Netherlands, or wherever else you might like to go, I don't see how that's anybody else's business. And I don't see how, because you were born in a certain place, whether that's an advantage or a disadvantage, you have to be, you know, albatrossed around the neck by that place for the rest of your life. If you feel like the place where you could thrive the most is Japan, go to Japan. Yeah, you know, I have friends who got married to Japanese girls. I've got friends who got married to girls in Europe. I've got friends who got married in South America. I've seen a lot of really interesting places, and I don't think there's any nobility or any kind of evolved
patriotism, national pride. Yeah,
there's no evolved argument you can make that my country, right or wrong, this is where I'm going to be forever. A country's just an idea, and countries have changed so much over the thousands of years that human beings have been establishing sovereign states that it's just silly to imagine that this is the only place you're ever going to be, and that's it. You're going to live here, you're going to die here, you'll die for it. I mean, there's no way I'd die for any country, let alone this one. I care about this country, but that's it.
It's the same idea of the fact that these borders were created by people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you believe solely and live solely by the Bible, you're living by one book that was written by people.
Right.
You know, these.
It's fallible.
Exactly.
So
be where you want to be, and live how you want to.
This is why I wanted to ask you to your opinion, because last night I was listening to these guys talking about this Portuguese golden visa, which is apparently this, you know, it's the easiest way to kind of get an EU citizenship. It takes about 5 years, and you have to put in, I think it's 350 or 500,000 euros, which is more than I have. Okay. But if it was something that was on my agenda, if I needed to get out of South Africa, which I don't, but if it was something that I needed to do, this would probably be the best way to do it. And they were explaining how, you know, how great life is in Portugal. Now, I've got a friend who moved over there with his wife and his two kids. They did it 2 years ago.
Oh, it's a lovely place.
Yeah, now you've been, so this is why I wanted to ask you, is you've been there on holiday to the Algarve a couple of times, and I know, Mbulelo, through your travels, you must have stopped in Portugal at least once. I've been to Lisbon, literally for a day or two, and I loved it. I thought it was very, very sexy and exciting, and, you know, it feels almost a bit like old Europe in Lisbon. But what are your experiences of that place? And if you had to live somewhere other than this country, where would you go?
Look, Portugal, and don't get me wrong, I was there a long time ago. So we had family property in the Algarve in a tiny fishing village. So completely different to Lisbon. And
that's where you got. That's where you got married to your first husband, Marco, right? Yeah. Oh. That's your first husband.
Don't know what life that was. Look, I can imagine that it can be quite difficult to assimilate, especially in somewhere like the fishing villages, where it's like any European country. That's not in a city, that's in the countryside. I mean, the same can be said for France, where you're not exactly accepted into the community from day one. So if you're expecting that, don't. You're not going to be sharing a chair with an old lady on a stoop watching the fishermen go by. And in the cities, I suppose it's very different.
Right.
But if you want to escape and just start over, yeah, I'd say it's the perfect place.
Yeah, there's no ways out. You couldn't pay me the $350,000 to move to Portugal. I might as well stay in South Africa because it's not functional. I would never live in Italy, France maybe, but like Spain, all of those countries.
Not functional. I mean, what compared to what? Like us?
Like they don't pay their. No. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I might as well stay here.
Yeah.
Because unless you're uber wealthy.
Exactly.
Italy's falling apart, Spain, because they don't pay their taxes. The Greeks, they don't pay their taxes. I don't want to move there. So, I mean, I like Lisbon. I thought a cool city, but I wouldn't want to live in Portugal because I like functional. But what you were talking about earlier, for me, life is all about people. And actually, it's funny. My friendship circles, I don't really get along with South African people because they're a completely different mentality to me. And I get along more with sort of
Baltimore. Of course, you're generalizing now, but yes, I get you.
Yeah, like South Africans are a little bit Canadian, you know, like a little bit soft and no real like punch you in the face chutzpah, which is why I prefer like Scandinavs and Baltic people. I'm more of like an aggressive person, and I like to get straight to the point. And the Europeans tend to be more that way, you know.
That's so a person.
Even in terms of
by
dating,
the way, I know that's true for you. You're not. You're not emphasizing a point that isn't true to try and sound cool and interesting. Like, that's definitely your personality. I get it.
Yeah. So even in terms of dating, I've never dated a South African girl just because we're not on the same vibe. Like, I just want to get on with stuff. And
by the
way,
you said something just now about the Italians and the Portuguese and the French that they don't pay their taxes. You were saying that like it's a bad thing. I respect countries where they don't pay their taxes. I don't have a lot of time for governments. You know that.
Well, I mean, if you've been to Rome, you know what I'm talking about. That city's, in fact, Italy's is falling apart. But you asked where I'd want to live. I'd love to know where you want to live. And I've always said for me, there's two different answers to that. For me, the best country in the world, second to none, that I've been to and I've been around is Luxembourg, and it's not close. Like, it is not
really
close.
Give me the selling points. Give me the elevator pitch for Luxembourg.
Alpine bliss. So the whole thing, alpine bliss.
Luxembourg is not in the Alps, though. You're thinking of Liechtenstein.
No, I've been to Liechtenstein as well.
So Luxembourg is.
Luxembourg I'm talking is about the just, setting. I'm
oh,
talking
but it's
about the
just,
setting.
I mean, this is it's just like, south of Belgium. It's not in the Alps.
No. Well, I'm talking about the setting. Think of like, have you been to Hogsback before?
Okay. All right. I got you. Carry on. So
yeah.
All right. So it's pretty.
Yeah. I've been to Liechtenstein as well. Right. So not
Luxembourg's pretty. All right. We got that. What else?
Everybody's uber educated and super driven. So it's like an investment haven, right? For people who don't know, like you move to Luxembourg,
it's literally a tax haven. Yeah.
And so for me, and super functional, you know, there's no, there's a burst pipe. You got my friends who live there, you hit an app location, you carry on with life. That is the dream function. But then you got to live around investment bankers, and who wants to do that the whole time?
That would be hell.
So for me, if I had a choice,
Luxembourg.
Best country in the world, but it's not where I'd want to live. Because the best people for me, definitely, I'd probably want to live in Stockholm if I could.
Boost your microphone levels there a little bit for us, Mbulelo. Leanne, where would you live if you could live anywhere? And you couldn't live here. Let's say you were forced out. Where would you go?
Oh, so many places. I mean, my mind just goes to Portimão, which is that little fishing village in the Algarve.
How rude.
My class is improving.
that was good class. That was that where that cough you just gave. That was perfect class. Yes. So Portugal.
Yeah. So my first. I think so. Definitely not Australia. Mm-mm. Not Canada. Mm-mm.
Hey, listen, those are good countries. Again, yeah. I'm not going to say because I haven't been to Australia. So I have no frame of reference there.
Have you not?
Never. And I've got lots of friends there. My best friend from high school is there. And I've got another friend and she's happily married there with two kids. And listen, there are lots of people all over the world who have told me great and horrible stories about the places that they are. And it's interesting. The most honest friends tell you the good and the bad. The dishonest friends only say how wonderful it is everywhere. And you're like, no, there's nowhere on earth that's wonderful all the time. There isn't. There just isn't. So here are some very funny comments from a whole bunch of people. First of all, Diolinda Oliveira, I wonder where she's from. She says Porto is the best city. Porto is the best city in Portugal. It's unknown to a lot of people, and it is stunning. I've heard that. I've got to go to Porto. Believe it's beautiful. Greg says they don't pay taxes. Sounds like heaven for Gareth. Oh, yes. Tracy says, in Love Actually, when Colin Farrell's character falls head over heels in love with his Portuguese housekeeper, that girl's father was a classic. He couldn't wait to marry her off. I love that. I love that movie. Oh, that was a great movie.
Tracy also says Barcelona, and that's definitely one on my list.
Oh, 100%. So I saw Barcelona for the first time 3-4 years ago. And I fell in love with that place. I've actually got friends and they're moving over there sometime in the next couple of months. So, you know, there are definitely places that are near the top of my list. And then there are places that are near the bottom. I think the country that I'd fit in the best and where I'd feel most at home outside of South Africa is probably the United States. And it would have to be in Texas.
Sorry, I just felt nauseous.
No, I would love it. I promise you. I love Americans. And if you find the right place in America, you'll live very well. And if you're prepared to work, I mean, it still is the land of the biggest opportunity in the world, without a doubt. That's why people flock there in their dozens, and net immigration into America always outweighs net emigration out. Europe is a complicated place at the moment. They've got massive problems in Europe. Let's not pretend that there isn't big shit going down. You know, the EU is losing its grip. Countries are becoming more and more concerned with things like immigration. They've got surging crime rates in most of the big cities. Europe is not what it was 20 years ago. And that's not to say that it's worse, but in some ways, it's definitely not better. I couldn't live in the UK. I think to live there, first of all, is tremendously expensive. And I don't like the mood there. I don't like the vibe people give off. So if I had to go to Europe, I'd probably end up in the countryside in a place like, you know, France or Spain, frankly. Maybe Italy, but that's about as far as I'll go into Europe. And I don't know the Baltic at all. Bolelo, I haven't been to Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark. I'm sure I'd like the places if I went there, but I'm sorry. The fact that it's so cold and dark for so much of the year is just hugely off-putting to me. And then the other option for me would be to go live on some tropical island. I mean, you know, if money wasn't an option and you just gave me a carte blanche, I'd like to live as far
as Seychelles.
Yes, but again, like with lots of cash and far away from the influence of governments. You know, in a place where I could just do my thing. I can have a borehole with fresh water. I can have solar panels with electricity. I can be connected to the internet. And for the rest of the time, I can go for walks. And I can have my pet and my family, and I can have my friends on standby. That would be the most amazing kind of existence. But I don't think we've got it so bad, you know? I really don't.
No, exactly. It's interesting how we haven't touched Asia, and we haven't touched South America.
Yeah, well,
I like South America. It's the functional thing again for me. My thing is, I don't like dysfunctional where I have to live. It's kind of sexy for a week, two weeks, but then I want things to work. I want water and guaranteed electricity and no crime.
And then there's Kazakhstan, which we haven't touched either.
How could we leave that out?
That's true.
That would be a disaster to leave that out. All right. So a few things we need to catch up on this morning. Bolelo's got some updates on the Olympics for us. Let's start off with that. I see that in the comments, a lot of people started off this morning, which is just great, on exactly the right foot by saying top class performance by Tatiana Schoenmaker. World record. Hooray.
Have some respect. Olympic champion, world record holder. Tatiana Schumann, because you always say Dr. Whoever.
She's correct.
What did I say 2 days ago? We need to respect this lady. And for God's sake, let's protect her like we did for Casta, like we've done for Penny Haynes before.
Right.
Let's protect her. I hope Adrian Gore or someone in this country who is actually serious takes this young woman under her wing and turns her into the champion that she can be. She's 24.
Well, just give her some of that corporate sponsorship money you're always looking to throw around it. You know, at otherwise fairly average people. Throw it at someone like her who's actually bringing back Olympic gold. I love it.
And yeah, you know what makes me sad? I hope she gets to move to America or somewhere where she can keep sharpening her skills, because that's where you want to be. In the States, they take their swimmers seriously. So I just hope we protect her and put her on the pedestal she deserves. She's the greatest walking this planet right now, over 200 meters. So world record, Olympic record. That's very called nice. Chops in our industry. She's got chops.
Very nice.
Shout out to her.
So I mentioned at the start of the show that this weekend is back to normal for some people, as in that, you know, the alcohol laws have been relaxed and people can travel outside of provinces again, and, you know, the coronavirus numbers are down. So does that mean for some people it will be back to old social events and doing things the way that they used to before? I mean, I've told you I've never stopped, and it doesn't really bother me what the rules are, but for many people they do like to follow the rules. There's sport this weekend, which is worth watching. I remember last Saturday when I was away, one of the guys came up to me at the fire at like 8 o'clock at night or whatever and said, Hey, did you hear about the Booker? And I said to him, don't need to know. Not interested, because I wasn't interested before Corona. I'm not going to be interested after. But there is rugby again, right?
Yeah, I'll get Oaks are jawling this weekend. Can't wait to get back to it.
Yeah, how's it, Oaks?
You Oaks bring the chops tell Michelle to make that casserole. It's unbelievable, you know? And you know, it's always the if it's too much trouble, it's fine. She mustn't. But you know how much Stacey loves it. So if she can make it, Yoast can come through at 3 and I'll start the fire. Because, yes, you don't want to be that eating at 8 or whatever. But the rugby's back on, man. And it's like it's an institution in SA, right? Like when the Boca play, it's just the one time where for one day your religion disappears. Oh, for most of us, not for all of us.
Corona's boring, just reminding us there's still a curfew, no old normal yet. That's exactly right.
Okay. Mm. Sorry, Corona.
Fat Pig says if he had to live anywhere, it would be Wakanda forever. Thanks, Fat Pig. That's great. Richard says, I've been living in China for 4 years now and moving to Slovakia next year. Not quite sure how I feel about it. The way of life here has become my new norm. Yeah, that's probably a place I really wouldn't enjoy being is China. I could pretty much say that.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, so my ex-girlfriend, Slovakian, Bratislava, unbelievable city. Hmm. Unbelievable.
She was a Bratislava? Awesome.
Yeah, Bratislava. That's a hell of a kind of lover. You don't find those easily. That's nice, Mbulelo.
Yeah. Those Bratislavas, yeah.
Listen,
great city, and the skiing's cheap.
Here's Chris. This is great. We are fortunate, I love when people say it, to have a home in the Seychelles and in England where we visit often. Right. But we choose to live and call home the KZN North Coast. Best place for us on the planet. Good for you, Chris.
That's really nice. Yeah.
Just give us some perspective nice there. I like that. A bit of a flex, but very nice. And well done to you. You've obviously worked hard for that. I'm going to assume it isn't Gupta money.
Or looted funds.
Hey, here's an interesting point. We were talking about this yesterday with Pumi. Asher says, Gareth Rhee, Simone Biles. Let's not forget what happened with Nadia in 76 for the Montreal Olympics. She got 7 perfect 10 scores and then drank bleach afterwards to try and kill herself. That was 45 years ago. I didn't even know that, but that's a really interesting contrast to draw. Very nice. I mean, very nice.
Sports psychology, guys.
You've got some perspective.
I mean, I'm just thinking of Chad Leclos.
Yes.
After Chad Leclos' elimination yesterday, and he was just visibly so despondent. But then the comments were quite cruel. People saying, "Oh, he should retire, and it's time, and he's lived his." But his response was, "I'll win 2024."
You know. I suddenly realized after we were talking about this yesterday, there's something so cheap about us talking about what Olympians do. Until until we've been through what they've been through, and I don't think I've been through anything like.
Absolutely.
It's just, it almost feels just unnecessary to comment. You know, like, rather just leave that to the experts, and the experts are the ones who are experiencing it, and I should learn to shut up some of the time, that's all. It takes me a day sometimes to realize that's...
No. I'm completely on the other side. Is that if, especially if you choose to be in the public sphere, expect the commentary.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely not.
No, I know.
No. They must.
Yeah, but
please don't give athletes an easy time.
All right.
I defend athletes all the time. Please.
I'm feeling more.
They are handsome.
I'm feeling more generous this morning than I was yesterday. That's all. And we're allowed to do that. You're allowed to change your mind.
I don't know, Mbulelo. If you. Choosing to be in the public eye by becoming an actor or a YouTuber or whatever is different to loving a sport, which by proxy comes with you being in the public eye. You might hate the publicity.
Yeah. So look, I played with players, not every footballer loves football. They know what's at the end of it. So I think it's also, they're a product. Sportsmen and sportswomen must realize now, you're a product. As soon as you move into that realm, part of it is the public facing commitment. And part of that is people are committed to this thing and they're going to have an opinion. You can't just have an easy ride.
All right.
And I love sportsmen, but anyway.
I got something
to you. Shout out Chad Leclerc. I love Chad. Yeah, I love Chad. So
I like Chad sports. Too. I have no problem. You know, I like Bert, his dad. Unbelievable.
Yes. Yeah.
I like Bert. I bumped into Bert one night when we were in
Oak. We used to see him out on the town.
Yeah, he goes out. He parties hard, Bert.
I was going to say, yeah. Ah. Anyway, yeah.
I bumped into him.
He's a mover and groover.
I bumped into him. I was with this very pretty blonde friend of mine, and he looks at her and he goes, "Hello, I'm going to call you Santon. Because you look like you come from Santon." He's a great guy. All right. Someone sent this to me, and I think it's a valid point. I think someone has been listening quite carefully to the show, and maybe we should take our listeners seriously when they make comparisons like this. I think this is excellent. It's from Mike in Durban. All right, Mike says, take a listen to this clip of Beavis and Butthead laughing, and tell me it doesn't sound like Mbulelo. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
This is you, Mbulelo, according to mine. It's about right. It's like when people used to listen to Gord and say he sounded like Muttley from that cartoon where he goes, you know. Yeah, that's the one. Beautiful.
That's so funny.
People
that's
playing.
Good. I like that.
People playing along.
That's very funny.
Okay. Some comments on your show yesterday. Such fun with the game of private parts. Oh, that was the show before when we were talking about the different names for female and male genitalia. And we could have played that all day on the show, but I thought we needed to be a little bit smarter and more adult than that, just in case there's someone who's listening to us for the first time. You don't want them to come in and the first thing they hear is like, your penis, your cock, your vagina, your twat, it's great. Yeah, come on, come up with another one. Because that's what we were doing, like teenagers. It's ridiculous.
How Afrikaans accents can make the simplest words just seem so bad, like twat.
It's horrible.
What?
It's horrible. Tracy says, my 8-year-old met Samuel Eto'o yesterday.
What
a nice guy. Such a privilege. Where were you? That's amazing.
That's insane.
Yes, that is insane. And then a quick compliment from her on the Burning Platform yesterday. Dr. Anthony Turton, who was our guest on the Burning Platform, along with Canton and Pumi, was a big win. A lot of people liked him. Thurence wants to know, where's Ben today? Ben actually sent me a message. He sent me a message last night just to say, He's had a lot of work, blah, blah, blah. And he said, I don't want to sound like Gord, but I'm going to just quickly send you a voice message to say I can't make it today. So I said, don't worry, Ben. It's fine. You know, everybody needs their day off. And it's absolutely 100%. You know, there's some days that our listeners take the day off. And I can't hold that against them. Some days they're just they're too tired. They want to have a sleep. Some days they just want to take a break from the show. I understand. It's totally all right. Michael says 30 years ago, the Olympians just had to deal with the people in the stands and the TV cameras. Now with the internet, every athlete knows that almost everyone is watching. There's serious pressure mentally. That's a good point. It's not
but
something.
Some are really thriving. I mean,
sure.
You guys know I'm an avid TikTok fan and I follow a lot of the Olympians on TikTok, and some are just loving soaking it all up. They're enjoying it, and we're able to see into their little cardboard beds. And Tom Daly, actually, he's into anything that's stitch related, so sewing and crocheting and knitting, and he crocheted a cover for his medal. I mean, that type of stuff we would never have known of.
Who?
If it weren't for the swimmer, the diver.
No, diver, yeah.
Okay.
Tom Daly, British.
UK, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I have heard of him. Okay, so let's get into some headlines, because there will be Olympics as part of the headlines, no doubt. There's always a lot going on, and never a dull day at the Olympics, and that's kind of what's the world's distraction at the moment, thank God. Now, there are protests everywhere. You know that, right? Protests all over Europe about these vaccine passports. The French are furious about this. The Italians are furious about this. There are people in countries all over Europe who are taking to the streets in their thousands to protest this stuff. So I don't think we've seen the end. I don't think governments are just going to be able to roll over their people with this. I think there are going to be lots and lots of people who will stand up for freedom. And maybe authoritarian governments have just taken this a step too far. Maybe this is going to be their Waterloo, you know, where they just don't realize, they haven't read the public mood properly. And people are going to go, screw you. I don't need to fulfill your requirements in order to be able to travel. I mean, I already have to have a passport and I already have to have a visa in some countries. Don't make me do this as well. It's an incursion on your freedom. Tiger Brands, big South African company, they're yet to quantify the number of recalled Coup and Hugo's products that have been returned. Earlier this week, about 20 million canned vegetables of Coup and Hugo's, which were produced from May the 1st in 2019 until May the 5th in 2021, were being recalled due to a small number of defective cans supplied by a packaging supplier. Can you imagine the costs?
Yeah.
Imagine the costs.
I walked into my parents' house last night, and they had the list printed out, and three or four cans sitting on top that were part of the production line.
I feel so sorry, you know, for the companies when this happens.
It is, yeah. And again, it's Tiger Brands.
Well, they're such a huge company.
But yeah, it's like Unilever. Every now and then they're going to be involved in something because their footprint is just so large. But it is such a tiny amount of these cans that were defective.
Yeah.
And of course, I don't know if it's South African thing, but we'll always jump on the bandwagon and say, couldn't they have done better?
Well, listen, again, I would hate to be them. It's like when you hear these motor manufacturers and they've got like a seatbelt manufacturer that they used as a subcontractor, and you discover that one or two of those seatbelts is a problem. And then you have to recall all those cars and check each one. And you just imagine what that costs and the amount of time. And, you know, it's.
I was thinking Tiger Brands would have known about this issue for up to 2 years now, considering that's when the issue started.
Maybe not. Maybe not. It's only kind of come to the fore now.
They've had to sit on it for a while, and imagine the meetings that they've had about how to approach this and to actually break the news. It must have been horrible.
It's awful. So the issue was first identified as part of the routine quality control procedures that they do. Investigations identified a deficiency in the side seam weld of cans manufactured by a third-party supplier. No health issues have been reported to date relating to the affected product range, the company has said. So no huge problems. But some of our cans are not worthy of our name, is the big ad that they put out on social media. And there's a number that you can call if you'd like to know more, 086-010-0891. And that's Tiger Brands. So Coup and Hugo's cans, if you have any of those, you might want to just find out.
And it's very specific. It's like it's mainly baked beans in different types of sauces and then some canned vegetables as well.
Yeah, there's a whole list, and they've printed it out. So just go and look on their social media, Tiger Brands. And, you know, this is kind of like a public service announcement because we don't want anyone to get any kind of poisoning from this stuff. Then they sold this is amazing. They sold a Harry Potter book, a rare Harry Potter book, for £80,000 at an auction. A rare first edition of J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. And we're not talking about a book that was published thousands of years ago. You know,
no, this isn't the Bible.
So it's one of 500 hardback copies that were printed in the first run back in 1997. And it was bought from a Nottingham bookshop. On the book's copyright page, the world famous author is credited simply as Joanne Rowling. Isn't that amazing? Auctioneers Tennants of Lyburn in North Yorkshire had estimated the volume would sell for £20,000 to £30,000, but eventually went for £80,000 for an exceptional copy, first edition, first impression, case-bound issue. Apparently, 300 of the original books were sent to libraries, and many had a high rate of loss and damage. This volume was soon after that bought on release at Dillon's in Nottingham. The sale is one of the highest ever recorded for J.K. Rowling's works. An author-signed first edition of the same book sold in Edinburgh last year for £125,000.
Jeez. Don't, that woman. Oh, my God. You know, what a genius.
We do Collectomania on a Monday, right? Don't laugh at me with my books here behind me. I'm telling you, one or two of these might be worth that kind of money one day.
And you can live on your island with that borehole water you dreamed of just because of a book you probably haven't even looked at in 15 years. Good for you.
Watch me.
What this does on a negative side is I'm now old because Harry Potter's vintage already.
I know, 1997. You know, 1997 doesn't...
Oh, man.
When I think of 1997, I don't think that's that long ago. Thabo Mbeki was our president. No, he wasn't even yet. Madiba was still president. No.
Yeah.
Madiba was still president. Thabo was about to come in. I remember being at the elections in 1999, like it was yesterday. Phenomenal, man. I mean, it's not a long time ago. And this a signed version of that first edition sells for £125,000. Woo! You know, realize how much that is? That's more than R1 million for a book. Shit.
Like, what is J.K. Rowling? What does she have left to do?
Nothing.
You know, shout out to this lady. I hope she's living her best life. She's made so many nerds so happy.
Yeah.
She's running around her mansion going, they see me rolling.
I hope so. I hope she's as happy as can be. You only need to do one. You know, everybody thinks you got to keep on keeping on. Like, if you've done she worked very hard in those early years of Harry Potter. She was working in coffee shops famously to write the books and... Yeah, she was churning them out at a rate of knots because the movies needed to be made and she needed to hand in scripts. And there was a lot of pressure in the beginning, I'm sure. But that her imagination gave birth to Harry Potter and has brought so much joy to millions and millions of people all over the world, children and adults. And I watched those movies again last year during lockdown. Loved them, all of them. Great story. She's very, very talented. Deserves every cent that she got. You know, another thing about her that I like is she's not pressured by... the online mob. I mean, she said some things about how she doesn't believe that women should have to compete with transgender athletes. And she said that women are not the same as transgender men who, you know, men have transitioned into women. And she stood her ground. She's not frightened because she's obviously a millionaire. She doesn't care anymore. And she can say what she thinks. Unfortunately, we're entering a world where only people who are absolutely independently wealthy can really say what they think. It's almost as if you can only trust those people because they're the only people who don't have to fall for society's pressures. I appreciate that there are people like her who are able to actually say things. I mean, listen, she's probably got political ideas that I would disagree with from top to bottom, but I respect anybody's right to say what they believe and to stick to it and to not be pressured by other people. So good for her. And I hope she continues to make tons and tons of money, as she does.
You remember Scrooge McDuck? Like Leanne was saying, she's got See Me Rolling playing in the background. I don't know if you remember the cartoon for Scrooge McDuck, how he would dive into his money.
Yes.
Like he had a room. Look, I hope that's what Jake, I hope she's got a bathing suit made of money, and she has a high diving board, and she dives into her pounds every morning, and then she gets on with her day. I hope that's what she's doing.
Yeah, I hope so too. Good for her.
Yeah.
All right, quick thing here. there's some other news. Do you want one more headline? You want one more? How are you feeling?
Mm.
Need it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Go for it.
Well, there's a popular TV show that is for kids. It's going to end after 25 years on TV. Now, I don't remember this because it's more of an English show, but it's called Arthur. And it's the longest running children's animated TV series in U.S. history. Do you know Arthur? You don't.
I feel like I'm supposed to remember. I feel like I'm supposed to.
Okay, well,
let me see. I know that was a stupid statement.
Let me see.
Remind me.
Yeah, let me put a picture up here, and then maybe you'll recall. If I put the picture up, it'll maybe jog your memory. So Arthur is the longest running children's animated TV show in history, 25 years, and they've decided that's enough now. Thank you very much. We've had enough of you. Don't need any more. Let me just put a picture up here. Maybe this will jog your memory. This is something. I don't know if it's ever shown in this country, so I can't really say whether I'd remember it or not. There, that's Arthur.
Oh.
You know Arthur?
Yeah.
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 Okay. All right. So it's this, I don't know if that's a mouse or a dog. It's got glasses on. What is it? A mouse?
I think it's a mouse.
This is confusing for children. Can't we make the animals look like the animals? Please. I mean, I know that this is
you
why
Arthur. I found out the
this
other
is why
day
Arthur's being brought to an end. Nobody knew what it was, for God's sake.
You know what I found out the other day about cartoons is that when Walt Disney first began and became really when the company became really popular, they realized that they were using so many hours to create the different positions of these characters, whichever characters they were. Walt Disney came up with a plan to cut, I think it was 10,000 hours per month, that was being spent on animators drawing characters in different positions by doing this one simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was by adding a neck piece of some kind to each animal or character, because by that they could keep the head the same and just move the body. So you'll notice that so many cartoon characters have either a dog collar, a necklace, a human shirt-looking collar, something that cuts off the head from the body. And he literally, like, saved the economy by doing it.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. But a lot of these cartoons, you don't know what they are. So it turns out Arthur is an aardvark. An aardvark, as Americans call it.
Right.
So Arthur the Aardvark, his family and friends, longest running children's animated series. U.S. broadcaster PBS confirmed the news, adding that the final episode will air next year. He's covered important topics like same-sex marriage. Ooh, you know, because kids need to know about that at age 5. Kids don't need to know about any of that stuff until much later on. Come on, really.
No, they do. Of course they do. They have
please.
Parents who are saying things.
All these kids shows where they start educating kids on adult stuff much earlier than they should be is just, it's unnecessary. I don't like it. It feels
Gareth,
to me like interference.
That is so important. I mean, I have a gay couple friends who have twin daughters.
Yeah,
babies,
well, obviously,
you know, obviously
they need to know about what's going on with their two dads. Sure. But really, do we need to...
So do they friends?
Yeah, we don't need to be educating kids about a whole lot of stuff before they're a certain age. I mean, come on. We don't need to talk to kids about sex before they... In fact, parents can make that call, all right? I don't think that...
It's not about sex.
Children's...
Being same-sex parents has nothing to do with penetration.
Jesus, Leanne, you had to go there. I'm just saying that the parents decide. Don't let some kids' show decide what to teach your children. You know, anyway, let's just move on because this show has now decided it's finished. They're continuing to work together on additional Arthur content, sharing the lessons of Arthur and his friends in new ways, blah, 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 blah. So there we go. A couple of comments here from people about what Arthur is. Arthur is Goofy is a cow, apparently. Goofy I always thought was a dog.
I thought there were two dogs, and I was always confused as to why Pluto had to walk on all fours and Goofy didn't.
Walked upright. So Goofy might be a cow, according to Shani. Arthur is a trance mouse. Yeah. All right. Yeah. These cartoons, sometimes you don't know what they are. That's the whole point. All right. Apparently Goofy's a cow, according to Michael Watson. I thought he was a dog, but someone pointed out he has a pet dog called Pluto. Mind blown.
And why do cows get to walk on their back legs and dogs don't? It's so weird.
Listen, also, a cow is it's such a strange creature, a cow, because we really just, they milk and meat, right? That's what they're there for. But they're also really sweet animals. They're like, they these extraordinarily gentle, friendly, sweet animals. And for some reason, we just turn a blind eye to what we do to cows, and we go, oh, well, let's make cartoons about them. It bothers me on some level, I won't lie.
No, but we bred cows.
Remember cow and chicken with its big udder out.
That was very disturbing.
With its tits out for everyone to see.
Very disturbing cartoon. Cow and Chicken was probably the most fucked up cartoon I ever saw.
Love it.
You were saying, Bolelo, sorry.
I'm saying we bred, like, I feel nothing. We bred them. We chose this as human beings, by the way. Cows aren't, yeah.
Don't worry. I'm not turning into a soft. I had a steak last night. I cooked
it. It sounds like you feel terrible.
I cooked that thing to perfection. Jesus, that was nice. It was so cold last night. I looked in the fridge. I was like, well, I could probably do something healthy like veggies or a salad or whatever. I was like, fuck that. I'm going to have a steak. So I took a steak out of the deep freeze, defrosted that, and cooked it up like, oh, it was so nice. So good. Just little old me.
It's so difficult for me. I love cows so much, and I've always said that's the animal I'd want to be. And they love humans. They develop this bond with humans. But my God, a steak is delicious.
Oh, it's so good. A friend of mine once said, a cow is a perfect machine for turning grass into steak. That's what they're there for.
Oh, God.
Cow and Chicken's parents were into bestiality, says Richard. Yep, clearly. Good Stuff says, I grew up with Futurama and Dragon Ball, drunk robots and super-powered kung fu muscle heads for the win. They'll teach you about life. Yeah. And I'm with you on Futurama. I never really got into Dragon Ball. That was past my time. Nico says, in what country does that look like an aardvark? Maybe the Netherlands, where everyone is high as shit. Yeah, exactly. This doesn't look like an aardvark, right? I mean, look at this thing.
It was like a yuppie. It's like the yuppiest version of aardvark you could ever imagine. You ever seen those? I don't know if you have any horsey friends, but they like have that orange TD5 Land Rover, like those super yuppie people with like six horses, and they just don't know how to get Michelle there on time.
Yeah.
It looks like that version of an aardvark, like that lives in the countryside and just, oh, the troubles of the local town.
You know,
the baker's late.
It has been a while since you hated on white girls, Bolelo, so I'm pleased that you brought them up this morning.
No, but I said horsey people. Why? You see, the thing about me is I'm perfect. I don't see color. At no stage did I mention the fact that the person was a white lady in her...
No, it's kind of obvious boots, when you say Michelle. I mean, we know what you're talking about, right? We're not stupid. We got you. It's okay. It's okay, Mbulela. We don't have to... You know, this is another thing. It's like, it's okay to dislike certain groups of people and not be a bigot. Like, it's okay to be to stereotype people and not be a bigot. You can be both. Like, it's possible to make fun of people and to have your preferences. You know, I mean, I often get into trouble for saying things about fat people or about old people. I get into trouble about that all the time, but I'm just not a big fan of fat and old people. So, sue me. What are you going to do? You can't make me love them. It's not going to happen, you know? You also can't make me enjoy people who dye their hair blue. I don't like those people. By and large, people who dye their hair blue are a major problem. They usually have huge shit going on inside their head, and then they make it blue on the outside to show you, as a warning sign, don't come near me. I'm a dangerous nutcase.
A poisonous animal.
Exactly. Like, you know how some fruit is colored with certain colors to warn the animals that you mustn't eat me because I'll poison you and you'll die? That's how I look at girls with blue hair. They definitely have something crazy going on the inside of that head. And it's a warning.
And I know this is true because I've often thought of doing it myself. So that's just proof in the pudding.
There we go. And I mean, lovely Lady Lee says, what about Simpiwe? Because she's dyed her hair purple. Exactly. That's the point. She's crazy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Nobody's denying that. And I work with her daily.
So. Absolutely. She's a totally insane human being. So now you know. You thought you were going to catch me out there, lovely Lady Lee, but I'm consistent about my views on this. All right. A horizontally challenged friend of mine used to always say, I may be fat, but you're ugly and I can diet. Yes, exactly. But that's also why it's not hate. You see, when I say I don't like fat people, I don't like them because they can change. It's not who they are. They're able to, and they don't have to change for me. Don't get me wrong. They must change for themselves if they want to. If they don't want to, that's fine. You know, there's this one girl I know who's absolutely delightful in every single way. I don't happen to find her attractive because she's too big for me, but she's a lovely human being and she makes me.
Oh, thanks, Gareth. That's so nice of you to say.
It's not you, Leanne. It's not you. I don't even like you. Don't jump ahead. but this girl is so much fun to be around. She makes me laugh. She's terrific. She's got the most incredible sense of humor in the world. Better than any thin girl I've ever met. But I don't hate her. I just don't like the fact that she's fat and she's not going to live as long as I want her to because she makes me laugh. That's all. All right. We got lots of other comments rolling in. You can get hold of us on the comments on YouTube. You can also send us a WhatsApp on 079-748-2090. Let us know what's going on in your life. Gareth, you've solved a major social experiment for me, says Ruth. Knew it. Ha ha ha. Still love a royal or turquoise, but haven't colored it yet. Oh, you mean your hair, Ruth. Okay.
The hair.
Yeah. Don't do it, please, unless you are insane, in which case I can't stop you anyway. But really, you know, if you're just the point is, like, there's this idea going around the world at the moment that some people are out there putting hate speech into the world. Some people are. There are very few people who actually are full of really resentful, ugly hatred, right? But most people, when they say something that's mildly insulting, are either just trying to be funny or they're telling you what their preferences are. And that's not bigotry. Let's remember that that line is a little bit blurry, right?
How do you feel? Yeah.
No, I say I feel very at ease being, I like to think I'm a very open person in terms of that whole kind of taking a jab at people because I'm happy to take it back. You know, the problem in the society is when people don't want to take it back. Like, oh, I can make fun of you, whoever you are, but as soon as it touches my world, and there's a lot of that going
on
sensitive,
now, yeah.
Then people, no.
Like you when you go against sort of middle-class white girls in Sandton, and Sia when he used to say things about strippers, he was extremely disapproving of strippers, as you will recall, right? Corona's boring says something interesting. I identify as a fat person, but I'm stuck in a skinny person's body.
Yeah, nobody talks about those rights. Yeah. What about his or her rights?
Who's paying attention to that? That's a serious problem. Leanne, were you going to say
there's
something?
There's a term for the opposite of that, and it's so clever, and I can't remember it now, and it's bugging me.
What, for fat people being stuck in skinny people's bodies? Or the other way around?
For people like me who are fat, but you seem to think you're fine. That There's a word. There's a clever word for it. It'll come to me.
It's like sometimes I feel when I'm talking to someone much smarter than me, you know, I can join this conversation, and then after 5 minutes, I realize, no, you're deluding yourself. This person's too clever for you. You can't.
Abort.
Yeah. Abort this mission. Yeah. You are sounding like an idiot. You have nothing to add that is valuable. Remember, here's Gen X. Remember that woman who lost weight because of you, Gareth. Your statements about fat people enraged her enough to lose weight. Yes, that was Fat Pat.
Yes.
Fat Pat, who wrote a book about her journey to losing weight. And she blamed me. I mean, she was great in the beginning of her book. I think I went to the launch of her book. She credited me with being so mean and rude about fat people that she decided to do something about it just to prove me wrong. And she's never looked back.
Yeah.
So, if you can help, great. If you can
help. That's awesome. Is it Translender or something?
Translender. That's hilarious.
Something like that. Someone will come up with it.
Hmm. I love it. All right.
Wait. Sorry. A woman lost weight because you shamed her into it.
Mm.
Yes.
What a fantastic society.
And then she asked,
that is fantastic.
And she asked me to write the foreword for her book. And she published a very good book about her journey into dieting and physical fitness and how she lost the weight. And we called her Fat Pat at the beginning of the book. By the end of the book, she wasn't Fat Pat anymore. She was just Pat. Isn't that great?
Bloody marvelous.
Yeah.
Marvelous.
Can you hear that dove sitting outside my house going, yeah, I'm going to have to shoot it.
And no doubt that it's a male just who's trying to woo a woman. Oh, my Lord, there he goes. I always think that these male doves make such fools of themselves running circles around these women.
I'm going to go shoot it. It's a pellet gun. Don't worry. It's perfectly safe. I won't be long. We're going to carry on with the show. I'm just going to shoot a dove. All right. Happy Friday, everybody. Okay. I'll be back in a moment or two. All right. Great. CliffCentral.com.